Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, some of you may think this is weird, but I loved it. I've been wanting to talk to a psychic medium for some time now, but never knew who to trust. I learned about Nancy Matz through a friend of mine and decided to take a chance and call her. I learned about my children, my job, and other fun mystical stuff. I was so impressed. She was right on with so many things. After talking to Nancy Matz, I walked away feeling great. Call her 916-773-1657 or nancymatz.com. That's nancymatz.com.
Okay, well, welcome to the Nancy Matz Show. And my name is Charlotte, and I'm the founder of California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team. Hello, Kentucky Lady. Hello, Alice Ann. It's good to have you guys. Nancy ended up double booking herself tonight, so I volunteered to do this, and I'm glad to be here. As I said, I am a ghost hunter out of Sacramento, and we do ghost hunts all over Sacramento and Northern California, www.californiahaunts.org. And I'm here to talk about ghosts, and I hope you guys are too. I'm looking for call-ins tonight. I want to talk about your experiences with ghosts, whether you're sensitive or whether you're a ghost hunter like myself. I want to hear your experiences. That number is 347-205-9071. To give you an idea of my background, I think like a lot of us, I started seeing ghosts in my house, which is very, very haunted, the house I grew up in. Hi, Kentucky lady, this is Charlotte. And the house I grew up in is very, very active. And as a child, you know, and they say, you know, before you're 12, you tend to see stuff because your psychic abilities are more up and in tune, and you don't know any better, I guess, is the thing. So I started to see stuff in my house, and I don't know if God above lets you see stuff the way you want to see it so it doesn't scare you or what the deal was, but I remember seeing this ghost move from one section of my house to the other, and it looked like a sheet, just like in the movies. And I had seen it, so I saw it once, go one way, and then a couple years later, I saw it go back the other way, and it was around Christmas time. Years later, I would be up late working in my house and stuff, and sure enough, I would see and hear stuff. My TV would come on by itself. I would have experiences like that. We had some bar stools in our den area that would squeak if somebody sat on them, and this would occur like 2 or 3 in the morning. So we've always had an active house, and I think that's what sparked my interest in ghosts and trying to explore a little more. And getting involved with ghost hunting kind of happened as a fluke, actually, because I used to watch those shows just like everybody else, like In Search Of and all that stuff, Believe It or Not. And I used to just try and figure out what it was I had seen as a child. And I kind of was playing around with ghost hunting and didn't know if I really wanted to do it. And I was a newspaper reporter for an area newspaper up here, and we happened to be next door to one of the most haunted places in the region. And I happened to go do a story on the ghost hunt. And I then turned around and met some ghost hunters at that point, and it sparked my whole ghost hunt thing. After that, I went out to a store in this particular town, a restaurant, and see a refresh, Kentucky lady. And I remember we chased this ghost down. And I don't know why we don't have sound. Anyway, so we chased this ghost down, and it got to the point, I'm on the way up on my volume, guys. It got to the point that I don't think this ghost had been chased around this restaurant. And it got to the point that he actually threw a clock off the wall. He was so frustrated with us. I've also had experiences where I've had little voices tell me to turn back and go home. So at that point, I had stopped. I was filming a travel show a few years ago called California Adventures, and I decided it'd be a hoot to go out with a ghost hunt group. So we did book and so we did book with them, and that's what got me hooked, and I joined their group, and here I am with my own group 4 years later. And I understand there's some sound issues. I don't know what's going on. I wish I knew what was going on, but it's Blog Talk Night, obviously. Anyway, so to continue on, I want to hear what you have to say about ghosts. you know, I have my experiences growing up, and I'm sure some of yours are similar. So go ahead and call me at 347-205-9071, and I'll sit here and I'll try and talk about some of our investigations. And maybe you guys can chime in about what you think. So here we go. Again, I'm a ghost hunter, and I've been to several places, well-known places that you've probably seen on television out here in California, such as the Brookdale Lodge, where the spirit of a little girl, where a little girl had drowned in a brook that runs through the building. And her spirit still haunts that brook area to this day. The Woodland Opera House, which isn't as well known, but it is a very active place out here. And we've done we've also done the Moss Beach Distillery, which I'm sure you've seen on the film Mysteries and shows like that. Does everybody hear me out there? Maybe not. Well, we're just going to go for it. At the Brookdale Lodge, we did, I was in there with the sensitive at the time, and she was able to contact a little girl. You could feel the little girl come in and out. She is a cold spot that moved around the room. And the sad thing is, she moved around the room and head right for that brook, right, like she was reliving falling in that water. We also, at that point, all right, good. I'm glad to have you, Kentucky Lady. We also, at that point, had come in contact with a couple of mobsters, which were kind of fun. You know, my impression of the place walking in was that it was more like that scene in Shining when Jack Nicholson walks over to that big room and it opens up and all the guys are in there drinking and saluting and calling them in and they're all having a good time. That was my vision of the Brookdale Lodge when I walked in, and I think that's pretty much how they like to keep it. Go ahead, you know, if anybody has their own stories about seeing ghosts or hearing ghosts in their house or knows of anybody who has encountered any ghosts or anything like that, call and we'll talk about it. 347-205-9071. The Brookdale Lodge was interesting. We went into the pool area, and again, the sensitive that we had with us on that particular day had seen a woman who had drowned there in the brook room. Hi, Miss Smokey. Hello, everybody, Kentucky Lady, Spirit Whisperer. It's good to see you guys. I'm open for a show. Nancy can't make it tonight, so my name is Charlotte. I'm with California Haunts, and we work with Nancy Matt with our group, where she does pre-reads for us before we go into buildings, and I'll get into that a little later. But I'm really interested in talking to you guys about different ghosts and encounters that you might have, or even psychic encounters, you know, your abilities, how you realize you have the ability and what you do with it and why you're interested in all this. Again, we've done some places that you might have heard of, such as the Brookdale Lodge and the Moss Beach Distillery. Getting back to the Brookdale Lodge, it was an interesting night. We spent about 7 hours there, left really early, early in the morning, got home exhausted, went to work the next day. But it was really interesting. We were upstairs in one of the conference rooms, and Miss Smokey, how's it going? And we were up in one of the conference rooms. I see some names I recognize. Nice to see you too. Again, we were up in one of the. I'll get this out yet. We were up in one of the conference rooms, and the power went out. We don't know. We still don't know if it was a PG&E thing or whether. Something had knocked the power out, and we had several entities coming to the room while we were up there. I got tapped on the shoulder and tapped on the leg at the time. So I have been tapped, I've been pushed, I've been shoved, I've heard voices in my ear, I've felt cold spots, I felt spirits run through me to the point that it made me nauseous over the years doing this. And it doesn't scare me anymore, and I don't think there's a heck of a lot that they can do to me that would scare me. And that's not a challenge to anyone that might be listening. Again, if you have any stories to add, 347-205-9071. We did do the Moss Beach Distillery, and if you go to our website, we did get an interesting EVP from there, but it wasn't directly from the distillery. It was down on the beach near the caves is where we got this EVP. So that's another interesting place, as I said earlier, like the Brookdale Lodge, and that they did have a lot of rum runners up there and during Prohibition. And so you tend to run into a bunch of happy ghosts up there. You know, they're still up there partying and doing their thing. Did we contact the Blue Lady? I don't know directly. I know that our psychic at the time, our psychic Sabrina, who is our lead psychic on the team, did channel, and she is a channeler, so she did channel a woman who would not give me her age. I finally got out of her that she was in her 20s, 30s. You know, you kind of got to fish around for this stuff. She did channel a woman who... liked the men, she said. She liked the boys, and they liked her. And it was an interesting conversation. I think I have snippets of that on my website as well. We talked to her for about 45 minutes, and it was rather interesting. Hello, Twinnels. Good to see you. And that was a rather interesting experience. Not much happened as far as anything like what happened on Ghost Hunters, and that's a shout-out to Ghost Hunters, that's a cool team. As far as all the weird stuff being on, nothing happened to us that way. We went around about at least four times before we started the investigation, and none of the special effects were on, so we were pretty sure we weren't picking up anything that could have been left that way. The interesting thing about the Moss Beach was that Sabrina, at the time when she went out there, gets frustrated with me because I am sensitive. I can tell when the spirits are there, and I can tell by the heaviness whether or not they're friendly or not. But as far as seeing a spirit, seeing an entity, I don't see them all the time. So she was frustrated with me because she was looking. We were in one of the banquet room, one of the dining areas, and she was looking out over the coastal bluffs, and she said, "Oh, come here, you got to see this. Do you see it? Do you see them out there? They're fighting." And I said, "Well, I don't see anything." So she kept getting frustrated. So as far as documenting the supposed story of the woman getting hit on the road, there's several stories of what happened to the blue lady. We were not able to do that. Sabrina had said that she saw them fighting on the bluff and that the man might have pushed the woman off the bluff. We had another sensitive with us from the San Francisco group, and it's a call out to her. And she had her own stuff down because they were down on the beach at the time. And she felt a sharp pain in her stomach down on the beach, like someone had been stabbed. And that correlates one of the stories about the blue lady is that she had been stabbed. So we kind of got cross-reference stuff. But Sabrina did also pick up on an angry man, which one of the stories, the Moss Beach story, is that there was hanky-panky going on between being a certain couple and whatnot. So as far as correlating all that, that's about all we managed to get there. But again, it was an interesting place. It was neat to go there because everybody had gone there. All the big-time paranormal investigation teams had gone there. And we were really excited to get there and have the time to do the Moss Beach Distillery. And out of the whole night, we did get that one EVP. If anybody has any questions about different ghosts, call in. I want to hear your experiences at 347-205-9071. Don't be shy because, sometimes if you had experience, it's good to talk to others about it because you might have similar stuff. I can tell you that we did recently, I believe last November, we went to Virginia City as a group, and we went to the old Washoe Club, we had a few experiences there. We were setting up our cameras, and I had one investigator come in and tell me that he saw a shadow person go across the room in front of him as he was setting up the camera. One of my other lead sensitives tell me that during the investigation that she saw a woman walking through the halls at this place. And this place, to give you an idea of what it's like, it's a three-story structure. It's an old structure. Please acknowledge some stuff here. It's an old structure. And some of the floors are missing. So we were fortunate enough to get up there. Not everybody gets in there. We went up there, and like I said, some of the floors were missing, so everybody had to move, and pack the two, as they say. And I had to make sure everybody had flashlights and whatnot, and it's really dangerous. So people were having visuals in this building. People were having feelings. One of my people got sick, physically ill. Myself, I was sitting up there with one of our other team members, and I was at the monitors because we have a four-camera monitoring system. I was up there with the monitors, and we remember hearing footsteps going round and round us, and it was interesting because we had a K2 meter out, and we put the K2 meter on the end of the table, and we would talk to this entity, whoever it was, and it would seem like they would come so far, the K2 meter would react, and they would back off. So that was rather interesting, and then later on in the night, my investigators decided to take a break. And they went downstairs, and one of my lead investigators came up and said, "Hey, are you guys going to be okay?" And I said, "Fine. Why? Because we're going downstairs." So I said, "Fine." So Jill and I stayed upstairs, and we were sitting there. And about 5 minutes later, I saw what I thought was my investigator walk into the room about 5 feet away from us through a doorway. He was in dim light, but he kind of looked like, I don't know if you guys have seen the Polar Express, but it's not in 3D, when it's just on TV. and they have that orange hue, that orange glow. And that's what happened, is this individual came in and I started to walk around the end of the table and I started to yell at him. I said, "Where's your flashlight? Are you crazy? You know, this place is booby, you know, literally almost booby trapped because you could fall through the floor." And Jill looked at me and said, "Well, he's downstairs. There's no one else in here with us." So we have seen a full body, I have seen a full body apparition up on the second, you know, up in the ballroom at the old Washoe Club. And incidentally, if I can make a note of this, if you watch Ghost Adventures, this is the same room that they got the video footage of their full body apparition. So who knows if it was one of the same. But you know, on the night as we sat there, we started to ask questions. It didn't respond in English, so we started talking to the entity in Spanish. And all of a sudden, we started getting responses on the Q-meter. Unfortunately, during all this, we did not get an EVP because it was 12 midnight and they're partying downstairs in the new Washoe Club. So there was karaoke going on downstairs and stuff. So we really couldn't get any good EVP out of it. We also stayed at the Miner's Room in the Gold Hill Hotel at the Miner's Lodge, which is another place that Ghost Adventures had stayed. We had some similar experiences in there. The shaking bed we experienced even during the day, it was interesting. One of our investigators, because we got in real late and we decided to do some investigations in the room, nothing much was going on, and both rooms are there. I see Buck in the Blood, quite a few ghosts. Miss Smokey, you want to call in and tell us a little bit about what's in there? Go ahead. I'd love to hear about it. I think they would too. She was laying on the bed and complained that the bed was shaking. And I was thinking, because we're over, practically over a mine shaft, that maybe it was, small tremblers or earthquakes. So the next day, I was taking a little breather on the bed myself with another investigator, and the same thing started to happen, just like most of the reports that go on about that room. That night, the night we went to the Washoe Club, another investigator remained there alone, which if you're ghost investigating, it's a no-no to be there alone, but she assured us she'd be fine. And so I let her do it, and we got back, and she was standing outside the building because something had happened. She had challenged the ghost, and it turns out that the bedroom door was shut to the main bedroom there, and all of a sudden there was loud banging on the walls in there. So it scared her because she was in there alone, and it would scare me too to be there alone. Unfortunately, again, you know, sometimes these things happen and recorders don't pick them up because we use so many digital recorders. Nothing got picked up. So, again, no EVPs out of any of this stuff that happened in Virginia City. Now, going back over the video footage, which took about 4 hours because we had it running 24 hours a day, pretty much, we did get a phantom light in the main bedroom at the Gold Hill. I still don't know what it was. I still have to go back and see if it came through a window or something. But we did get some kind of phantom light in there. So we're excited. We want to return to Virginia City. We want to look at some of that stuff, like the Bug in the Blood Saloon, places like that. We do want to go back there and do some investigating. Miss Mokey, since you know a lot about BC, I also understand that the Museum of Ill Repute, that little turtle, that the Museum of Ill Repute down there does have its own share of ghosts, and it's not so pleasant. Anyway, so that's Virginia City. We did do that one. Sacramento Theater Company. It's a theater in here. Nancy has investigated it also. And I did that with another group back when we were filming their show. And that was a very interesting place. We're going to be visiting there again in May. And we're going to be doing, check this out, guys. This is something you got to wait for as soon as I get a date. We're going to be doing a live investigation via Blog Talk Radio at the Sacramento Theater Company. Okay? So I want you guys to know about this because I'd like you guys to tune in. And I will let you know the dates. I'll have Nancy let you know the dates. When we went there, you don't know what to expect in these places. And things were going nicely. I was up there with Karen filming away, you know, and all this. And she saw what appeared to be a pink orb go by her in the smaller stage. We went upstairs toward the costume shop where a lot of the stuff happened. And as I was standing there filming Karen, I could hear footsteps coming up on the left of me. And you could also hear like keys banging like a super would have or you know, like someone would have on their belt. So we could hear this thing coming at me, and so I decided to move up next to the psychic because, as you guys know, they can see everything, and I'm no fool. So hell of his lib. So I watched one of the other investigators come in and sit down in the same spot that I was in, had been in, and she turned to the left as well and heard the same thing I had heard. There was also a very heavy door that kept slamming on its own as if somebody was shutting it. Listen, you bear in mind, this was August, and there's no wind in August. Sacramento gets hot. It's like Arizona in the summer. I mean, it's just nasty out here. And so it was like August, and there was no wind, and there was no way to shut that door. We tested it, and we couldn't debunk it. So something or someone was shutting that door. What else is known to that place? Also, in the same area, in the costume room, Karen and I were in there by ourselves. And, of course, they've got boxes and stuff and reams of fabric up on the walls, you know, on the shelves. And as Karen and I stood there and Karen was doing her reading in the room, we experienced that stuff starting to move on the walls as if somebody or something was moving it around. Also, inside one of the closets in there of note, there were some fitting dummies in there. You know, those, yeah. Anyway, we opened the closet door, and those were all moving back and forth as if something or someone had been pushing them side to side. So we've had some interesting experiences here in the area. The Woodland Opera House is one of our favorite haunts, okay? We're going to be going back there as well at some point because we're remodeling. Come on, call on in and help me out here, 347-205-9071. Again, back to the Woodland Opera House. The Opera House, a little bit of history, had burned down back in the late 1800s and was rebuilt in the 1900s. And it turns out a fireman, a local volunteer fireman, had died in there. And we've had a few experiences in there with the other group I was with, as well as my own group. There is an entity on the stairway who was very protective, like a stage manager. He doesn't like certain people going up that stairway. I've had encounters with him a couple times. You get up there and you're breathless. Even if you go up at a slow pace, they got a picture. And I don't particularly like orbs. And I'll tell you, you know, I'm just one of those ghost people that doesn't like orbs. And you go up the stairway, and I got this picture of this real strong orb coming down over the head of one of my investigators. And there's a little story behind a lot of these things that are on my website for the Woodland Opera House. We were doing an EVP session up on the upper balcony, second level there, and I had three investigators complain that their arms felt like they were burning. So we've had experiences like that. Sabrina gets into that place, and she can just set it rolling because once she got in there and started doing her thing, all the lights were blinking on and off, and we even drained the battery in the fire alarm. So it's an interesting place. There's a photo on my website from being with the other group. Where orbs are weird. Where Sabrina is standing there and she's looking down as she's channeling some of these entities in there. She's looking down at her feet and you can see some spirit stuff in motion at her feet, going around her feet. And she's looking directly down at it. So we got that. There's also a shot where Sabrina, we were standing up on the balcony, pier thing, and Sabrina said, take a shot. She's right in front of me, take a shot. And it looks like she's got, and it looks like she's got white splotches in front of her face from where she instructed me to take a shot. So it's a very interesting place. Incidentally, that place is haunted by several entities, including one Polish actress named Madame Lachesta. And the interesting part about that is Madame Lachesta not only enjoyed haunting the Woodland Opera House, she haunts a lot of places, a lot of theaters up and down the West Coast. And we also encountered her at Sacramento Theater Company as well. I have an experience that I'm going to share with you. I was up at the Hotel Leger when I was with the other groups. And we were done filming for the day, and we were done with the investigation, and I was hanging out with one of the sensitives. We went upstairs to take some photos. The Hotel Leger is in Macomb Hill, which is a very, very strongly active place. You can feel the energy when you're walking out in the streets. It makes your hands shake. It's so strong that when I had my cell phone in my pocket, and I would reach down to touch my cell phone, you could feel the energy from the cell phone emanating off as I reached down to touch it. So it's a very, very, very strong place. Anyway, so we go upstairs. The investigation's over. And I remember we were up there. She's taking pictures down this hallway. And all of a sudden we heard distinctly two sets of footsteps coming towards us. And the footsteps, we looked around, no one was up. The footsteps stopped right in front of us. And I remember laughingly saying, well, I don't have a beef with you. And suddenly the footsteps turned away from me, turned to the other sensitive. And she had a camera on a tripod. And the tripod lifted at least 3 feet in the air and shot 8 feet back and hit the floor. So that was kind of an interesting experience there. Also there was my first experience. These Sony video cameras that we use are interesting in that when they're older Sonys, they're TRV-47s, I believe, and they're older Sonys, and I've learned over the years that you can see spirit energy with these Sony cameras. And we were using the Sony cameras down the hallway, and I was left alone in the hallway sitting in this rocking chair, and I did not have the sound on, just one of those things. And I remember seeing the camera blur up, because when an entity or spirit is nearby the Sony cameras, it drains the power in such a way that it would blur the camera. So I see the camera start to blur down at the end, pointing towards the end of the hallway, and I'm starting to get nervous because this thing's coming towards me, and I was still a new ghost hunter, and so I was scary and freaked me out and all that good stuff. And it came towards me and kept going, and as it was parallel with me, I could feel the cold. And I remember hollering down the hallway saying, someone's coming towards you, someone's coming down the hallway. And that was one of my experiences with that. Another experience we had on the same investigation, again, it was with another group, but the sensitive was sitting in a rocking chair, and I was filming her, and as she rocked forward, she would get blurry. As she rocked back, she would be clear. And when I mentioned it to her, she said that she had sat in something, which is kind of funny, you know. And as it turns out, there was a woman standing right in front of her that she was rocking in and out of and getting information from. So it was rather an interesting visit to that place. There's footage on our MySpace site. It's www.myspace.com/California Hawks. You can check out. Oh, okay, well, maybe like those times. That's a good question. Thank you, Miss Roki. Again, I got a bug. You know, it's kind of like any hobby you like. You know, like I said, I went out and I filmed this other group ghost hunting, and I was hooked. They made it fun. They didn't make it scary. You know, I didn't want to go out with people that were scary. I thought ghost hunters were scary because they were talking to dead people and whatnot. And so when I went out with that first group that I was out, that I met originally, they made it fun and exciting, and that's what it is. It's like an adrenaline rush to go out and do this. But you know, you guys got to remember doing this. You guys got to remember that doing this isn't all glamour either, like they show on TV, because it's a lot of work. You got a prelim to go to, where you pre-interview people with about 40 questions. Then you go from there, take your pictures. And we do very detailed maps. If you look at our website and go to our Murphy site, we do have some basic maps for you to click on different rooms, but we do similar maps. Only each room is mapped. Each piece of furniture is mapped. Each electrical outlet, everything is mapped before we go out. So when our investigators go out, each person has this map, and they can mark where their meter readings are and where the sensitives, you know, get their readings. So that's the first part of the paperwork we do. In addition to all of this, the investigators take out an investigator report. While they're going through, they have to mark down the time that something happened, something occurred, or something that they were able to debunk. My group is about 80%, I would say 80% believers, 20% debunkers. Okay, all of us, you know, 80% of us have, in one way or another, had an encounter with a ghost sometime throughout our lives or was a sensitive. And then you've got the other 20% that wants to see the hard proof, which is what's nice. After we investigate, you know, we've got all our EVPs, we got all our video, we keep a video log, somebody's always sitting, just like you see on Ghost Center, somebody is always sitting in front of the monitor taking notes of anything they might see that's strange, you know, so you jot it down at the time it occurred. So when you go back, you can review that part of the video. We go home. And again, there's more logs, more paperwork. And so you're looking at another video log, you're looking at a log for all the EVPs, you've got to write them down, the quality. The quality, you know, you think the EVP might be, there's all kinds of paperwork. And then you have to put together, based on the investigator's comments, you have to put together a wrap-up. So you can take it out to the client. And then that's the last step is you take out, you look at your photos, you do all that good stuff, and you take it out to your client and you show them what you got or what you didn't get. And then you try to come up with logical answers for stuff or stuff you can't explain. It's that simple. You know, then we've got a researcher on staff who also goes through stuff so we can check out what the sensitives have gotten. Now, Nancy plays a real intricate role in all this. Even though she's in Arizona, I've known Nancy for years. I met Nancy when she was doing the cemetery tour here in Sacramento. And we kind of hooked up after I became a ghost hunter and got this group. What Nancy does is I will send her a photo of the front of the building that she's never been to before, and she will do a pre-read on the building for us. Nancy has been, I would say, at least 99% accurate doing this. So what that does is when we go into these buildings, I'm the only one that knows. Kathy, hello. I am the only one that knows what's going on in what Nancy found. My sensitives do not know any of this. My team doesn't know any of this. So when the team of sensitives goes in, one or two sensitives per investigation, when they go in and they collaborate, Blue Diamond, hello, and they collaborate, pretty much what Nancy got, then we know we're on to something, or vice versa, you know. And the other thing we like to do with that is it's nice to do that. And again, I was talking about, I changed subjects on you guys, I'm so sorry. If you go to our MySpace site, you can see this footage where you can see how a sensitive and a ghost hunt group can work in tandem. We're at the Hotel Jeffrey. We're in an alley between the buildings. And Sabrina is in contact with, hello. And Sabrina is in contact with the spirit of a man. And John is there with his trifield meter. And if Sabrina is talking with this man, have I ever felt afraid? Oh, yes. And I'll get to that in a second. If Sabrina is with this man, is contacting this man, the meter is registering 5 and above, like he's at, you know, during his answers to her questions. And this went on for about 5 minutes. You guys get to see around a 40-second snippet of this. So, I mean, that's how I like working with a psychic. I like to see if we can do that and if we're able to put that together, you know, with what a psychic gets and what our readings are. Hello, Moonbeam. And, yes, I do get scared. Yeah, you know, I'm not that cute. Have you seen my photo? I do get scared. You know, it's like anything else because sometimes you don't know what you're walking into. Okay, it's hard to tell. And sometimes if we don't go in with a sensitive, I'm one of these people. I'm chicken. You know what? I'm afraid of the dark. I'm a ghost hunter who's afraid of the dark, and I think that's because I saw ghosties in my house growing up. You know, and that's probably one of the reasons why I don't like the dark. And that's why I think I do ghost hunting, because usually I'm the one behind the infrared camera because I can see everything and nobody else can. You know, it's an interesting lifestyle. It's an interesting hobby to have. It's expensive. Hey, you know what? You guys that just came in, if you want to call in and add something to this, it's 347-206-9071. Another place, I'll go through another place. That we've been to that was rather interesting. My group itself, we just did an investigation on Friday night. Hello, Sal. This is Charlotte, California Haunts. I'm filling in for Nancy. Anyway, we did this investigation on Friday night at a place called Pinky's Bar and Saloon. And Pinky's is on the river in a little town called Nicholas. And we went out there. My mother goes out on these prelims with me, which is kind of fun. And we went out there and she had told us stories about the bartender getting goosed by what they thought was a male spirit. And they have a boat that's hooked up to their dock that was used in China to move immigrants and stuff up the Yangtze Kwang River. So we go out there Friday night, and Karen goes out with us, and she's sensing the spirit of a woman upstairs in the loft area, and she's sensing a couple of men downstairs, one man behind the bar. And so we get into our EVP sessions and we go downstairs and we're sitting by the bar, and I will have these up on the website shortly. I haven't done the presentation for the woman yet. We're just about done putting the stuff together. But we're sitting by the bar and Henry's with us and he's calling out the EVP session and his wife Crystal's calling out the EVP session. And we started to get taps in response to our questions. Can you do that again? And you would hear a tap. Then the entity started hitting bottles, because of course you're in a bar and there's bottles along the wall. So the entity started pinging bottles for us as we were sitting there. So So that was rather interesting. Karen and I, later on after that, it was about 5 in the morning. Karen and I went ahead and went in behind in the kitchen area where they had seen an apparition in the back, and we sat there on the floor. And it's kind of a funny story. And we went back there, and we got dowsing rods out, you know, we're talking with the entities, and I hear footsteps off to my left, so you hear me on the recording going, "Oh, did you hear that? Did you hear that?" And Karen says, yeah, there's something over there. And about 3 minutes later, we hear this loud bang, and both of us kind of cussed out at the same time. We said the same thing. We jumped about a foot. So it's kind of funny. And that end of the night, we ended the night on kind of a humorous note. But unfortunately, the footsteps never picked up. We did get some EVPs out of that, so I'm hoping that as soon as it's up, you guys can check with MySpace and check out my website in about 2 weeks, and we'll have everything up on the website so you can hear some of those EVPs. An interesting investigation, as some of you probably know, is we do quite a bit with the Murphy's Hotel in Murphy's, California. We did our Halloween fest there, and we've investigated that twice, and both times we've got some real nice EVPs out of it. Well, we went ahead and went from the down Main Street to the Murphy's Motorcycle Company, which was on the tour. And we had a small group there that day, a couple of trainees went. And Trisha was our sensitive for the evening. And we started our evening off, and Fred was there. I do not charge for investigations. It's all free. We take donations, though, okay? But it's all free. Thank you, Ms. Wilkie. Ms. Wilkie. Gotcha. I'll figure this out yet. I'll learn how to read. But we went out, and we had some, you know, you always rely on sight with these things. I hope you move something or whatever. This time it was purely smell. And there were, you know, and there were hardly any cold spots. And I remember Fred, this one entity that would come in distinctly smelled like sweaty leather. We had the smell of like pack mules come in. We had the smell of like a moccasin come through, and they were all linked to entities that came through that night. The sweaty leather was the ghost of the gentleman that had owned the building, and he had died, was still coming around. He had a custom motorcycle that he built. The smell of the pack mules, we had a couple of miners come in, and that was kind of interesting. And with them came, oh, that was a temperature change of cold. Now, we do have a caller, so let's see what's going on here. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi, can I help you?
Oh, hi. Oh, yeah, I went to, actually, I wanted to call in. Can I get a reading?
You know, unfortunately, Nancy's not here tonight.
Oh, she's not?
So I'm kind of filling in. I'm sorry.
Oh, she isn't. Oh.
Sorry, I apologize.
Oh,
we're
that's
talking
okay.
About. Okay, well, have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
See, that was not going to happen. Anyway, so they came in, and then we also had the spirit of a Native American who came in as well to talk to us. And we still have to do a trip back there to do a soul release in there. It was a very interesting place, and like I said, we're going to be going back there to do a little more work because there's things that need to be done. A lot of these investigations, again, we don't charge anything to do this. And sometimes it's hours driving, but we enjoy doing it, especially if we can help people. Ms. Smokey asked, do you try to talk these ghosts into going home? Yes, we do. It depends on the entity. You know, sometimes there's an entity and people like having them around, so we don't push it. Or if the ghost isn't doing anything bad or harassing anybody, sometimes we'll leave it alone. But if it's a situation where it's a small child or it's an old person that doesn't realize that they're causing trouble, yes, we try to talk them into going home. This Native American gentleman, his story is he kind of bailed on his tribe during a battle, and so he feels disgraced. So what I decided to do was he's waiting for us right now, and we have a couple of Native Americans on our team who are going to go in and talk to him because he only wants to talk to a Native American. So we're going to have them come in and try to talk him, you know, into going home. So hopefully that'll work out. But like I said, normally we would try to cross them over. We were in a resident here in Sacramento where it was the spirit of a little girl that Karen and I were able to talk over. It took us a while, but we did that. We also did a hotel up in North Lake Tahoe where I got some of the best EVPs I've ever gotten in my life. It's on our website, and Nancy and I, there was one entity there that was holding a little girl back, and Nancy and I sat here one Sunday afternoon via stick cam and talked her over. So we were able to get her soul saved. You know, you can't always do that. Sometimes it's really sad. You know, sometimes they don't want to go. Whoop, we got a 775 calling in. Hello? This is Charlotte. Hello, what can I do for you?
Char.
Yes.
This is Miss Smokey. How are you?
How are you? Terrific. What can I do for you, Miss Smokey?
I wanted to share an experience that I had. This was a while back. I was kind of like really into drugs back.
Okay.
But I was really, really close with my cousin, and I used to do, like, you know, secondals, a lot of secondals and stuff. And I'm not saying this to be proud of that fact, but one night I was asleep, and I had a feeling, you know how you're halfway into sleep, and it's like you know somebody's watching you. Well, I had a feeling that someone was watching me, so I kind of opened my eyes, and it was my cousin and I were very, very close. And my cousin was standing there, and he was in the service, and he was in his uniform, his dress uniform, and he had his hat across his chest. And he told me, he said, you know how close we are. You're going to be joining me pretty soon. And I kind of looked at him like, no, I don't think so, because he was on the other side of the United States. I'm like, I don't think so. Well, come to find out, he had passed away, and that was later on. I woke up, he was gone. Well, needless to say, I got rid of all my drugs. I threw them down the toilet and blah-de-blah-de. But to me, it was like, so my parents went to his funeral, and at the funeral, they brought a picture of him in his casket back. And he was laying in his casket in that dress uniform with his cap across his chest. So
wow.
To me, it was, yeah, it was like a warning. And I was like, that was all I needed, because it was like, all right, no way am I ready to go, you know. But I've had so many different experiences with ghosts. They're kind of attracted to my light, I think. They come a lot, you know, and I just kind of have to tell them that, you know, I'm sleeping or come at a better time, because I do psychic readings. And one night in particular, it was like my whole room was full of people. Like, I could hear them talking, and my daughter was sleeping with me, and she's like, Mommy, they're keeping me awake. And I went, oh, good, I'm not imagining this. They're really here, you know. And so the next day I called another psychic friend of mine, and she says, they're attracted by your light. You're new. You're new into the realm, so they're attracted by your light, and you just got to kind of tell them that. Come back at another time. But those, I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying, and this is really, really interesting, and I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, thank you. You know, death apparitions are very common. My dad, when he was in the Coast Guard, he saw his mother you know, come into the room while he was lying in bed. So they're very, very, very common to see them.
Oh, yeah.
There are the celebrities that have had them as well, you know, and you should look that up. I saw this on TV a couple months ago. During Halloween, of course, is when they pulled the stuff on, but they were talking about celebrity ghost encounters, and there's some real well-renowned celebrities that have had death encounters as well, you know? And sometimes
exactly.
It is a message, and sometimes we have to listen to what they're trying to say us to tell us, because, you know, a lot of the times it's unfinished business. That's why they're back, you know?
Exactly, yeah, because that one with my cousin really was, seriously, I got rid of my whole little stash, and it was like I didn't even think twice about it. So to me, it was like he saved my life, you know. So I'm very appreciative of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I hope I'm not boring you guys tonight. You know, I'm trying to keep you guys amused with all my little stories and stuff, and I'm glad you called in. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, and you're doing a fabulous job. So take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, you know, if anybody else has a story they want to share, we got about 15 minutes remaining. It's 347-205-9071. I've got a nice ear to listen because I've just about seen it all doing this. Well, just about. I can't really claim I've seen it all. Anyway, again, my name is Charlotte. I'm with California Haunts. Nancy couldn't make it tonight, so I'm trying to do some entertainment by telling stories about our ghost hunt group and some of the experiences some of our members have had while all these ghost hunts. Again, we've done some fairly interesting places. There's a place in Placerville. Thank you very much for joining. There's a place in Placerville, California, that's just about 45 minutes away from where I live, called the Oh, yes, me. My mind is like that. But it is a cosmic cafe. And it's one of these places where they do egg sandwiches and food like that. And it runs into the back of an old mine shaft. The mine shaft, I believe, was never completed. And I believe it was used to store soda because the building was the soda works at one time. And it runs all the way back there. But the reason why we went there is because they have an entity in there who's very active, who will move stuff around the building, and, you know, the paintings and glasses and all kinds of stuff. And he's been seen several times, so we went back there with our group. And we had some interesting cold spots. We're sitting in the mine shaft part, of course. You got to figure the thing's pretty much a decent temperature all year round, you know, it's consistent. But we were getting temperature drops of anywhere from 10 to 30 degrees right on us, you know. And at one point, it was like he was sitting in my lap. So we've had things like that happen upstairs. The sensitive at the time noticed that there was a little girl dancing upstairs. And while we were sitting there trying to engage her, her mother called her home for the evening. So, you know, there's just stuff that, you know, and you talk about the different types of hauntings, and then that had to be a residual haunting because it seemed like a replay. Here, this little girl probably used to come here all the time, come to this place all the time and dance. And the mother was calling her home just like she had for over 100 years, you know, because we're talking places that have been built in the 1800s. I know for you guys back east, that's like yesterday, you know, because you guys have places back there that have been around forever. And I just lost, I hope to God that I'm still on, because we just lost Log Talk, so I hope they're still broadcasting. We got a page right there, so I hope we're still on the air. I'm trying to get back on right now. But, okay, I guess we're still on because I'm still seeing the chat. So let me know if you guys can still hear me because I'm not literally on the page at this point. I'm getting a page load error. So let me know if you guys can still hear me. It would be really cool. Anyway, so to make this long story short, we did do the investigation. And it turned out fairly successful because of the temperature drops. But we didn't get much EVP. Behind the bar upstairs, Henry did experience some footsteps coming towards him. And Tom, I'm not Nancy. Okay, thanks, Blue Diamond. So we're still on the air, so hopefully for the next 15 minutes we'll still be on the air. I've been having trouble with Mozilla trying to get us on this stuff. So, well, here we go. Let's see if we get back in. You know, it's always me that has a problem. Nancy could, like, blow right through this stuff, but I must have the kiss of death with Blog Talk. But anyway, so, you know, we did experience a few things there. It wasn't all that dramatic. And we did do a lot of Plasterville. We're going to be back out there in April. We're going to be doing an ice cream shop up in Plasterville, a brand new place that has, I love it when it comes back up and it's all condensed. No problem, Tom. We're going to be at this ice cream shop where they're having a lot of Poltergeist activity, so I'll try and update you guys on that as well. Well, we have 12 minutes remaining. If anybody wants to call in, if the switchboard is actually working, which I don't see it, like, working really good for me right now. That would be great. If I can't get a hold of you, I'm sorry, because, like I said, my switchboard is like a little tiny thing right now. But, we have, like I said, we've done some very interesting stuff. We've been poke-prodded and all that good stuff. As far as seeing entities, I've only seen the one. Like I said, I've seen some in my home as well. We do have some interesting stuff coming up. Look for us in November again to have another Halloween fest. We've never been asking for that. I'm going to be flying out to Tucson at some point this year to spend some time with Nancy at the OK Corral and all those good places. So I can't wait for that. A couple notable places up here. There's so many that we've been to. The Hotel Jeffrey, the Island Hotel. We've done investigations at. We actually have a guest bedroom where there's a hole in the wall where a bullet went through. I was recently at a ghost conference up here, not recently, but about a year ago, where we went to the Preston Castle, the Preston School for Boys, and that was kind of a creepy place because it's one of these places, you know, you get up into the sick bay up there, and they still got the old beds up there, and there's no power and all that. It just looks really creepy when you're up there. Another interesting place is an ice skating rink here in Sacramento, and it's an old ice skating rink. It's the oldest ice skating rink in the area. And, no, I have not done Alcatraz. I want to do Alcatraz. It's hard to get on there. As far as to get on there, it's more easier to go on a regular tour. It's hard to get in there. You have to get permission from the city of San Francisco to even access Alcatraz. But we're working on doing something with them. Exactly. Alcatraz is something. I'm sure there's a lot of entities that I probably don't want to come in contact with there. I've heard of other groups that the people have gone in and they've been scratched and hit and slapped, and the sensitives have. So, you know, I'm one of these people, like I said, deep down I'm a wimp. So that'd be one of those places that I would like to go, but it's not high on my list. You know, I don't want to get slapped by anybody. Let's see. So I'm thinking of some places up here. The Hangman's Tree, which used to be a cafe, it's a bar. It's now closed. Yes, Kathy. It's now closed. And it's now closed. I think they're going to demolish the building. But that always had a lot of activity in it. We did that investigation. Again, we have some nice EVPs from that one. The Hangman himself reportedly hangs out of this building. Thanks, Miss Loki. Miss Loki. The Hangman reportedly hangs out of this building. And we were able to get, like I said, some EVP of that, cold spots. And, you know, something that's interesting that happens that you don't hear about, and I know those of you that are sensitive will understand this. If we do go on an investigation and we have a couple of sensitives with us, even if they're not actively being our sensitives, you know, we will draw entities in off the street that don't necessarily belong, you know, in that particular building. And that's one of the things that happened was at the Hangman's Tree. It was going to be a 3-hour gig, a 4-hour gig, and we ended up staying there almost all night because the next thing we knew, they were lined up because we were in the process of releasing souls and sending them to the other side. So we had a line of people lined up at that point. Now, I'm not to say that we're a totally psychic team. Again, you know, the believers versus the debunkers. But we do like to work with psychics because it does help us validate what's going on. It does help direct our equipment, you know, to help our investigators direct our equipment to see if we can get those spikes, just like if you look at, you know, just like if you look at that footage on our MySpace site, you can see how working with psychics really, really helps us in our investigating. A lot of groups are kind of leery of them, and you know, I don't hold that against them. But I've always worked with psychics in a group in one form or another, and that's what we do. Again, getting back to Iceland. Now I know where I was at. See, I get lost. I talk a lot, so I get lost. Iceland ice skating rink. The original owner said to haunt the building. So we've been in there a couple of times. Of course, it's an ice rink, so it's colder, and it'll be in there. But it's the building next door that caught the interest. I was in there with the other group, and they have an ice making plant next door, which is kind of convenient when you have an ice rink. And in there is where they came in contact with some very interesting spirits. Thank you, Miss Smokey. Tom Rykoff, how does psychic power work? I know it sounds like a dumb question, but I wanted to understand this. You know, honestly, I couldn't tell you. I am sensitive, but I don't know as much as people like Nancy and Miss Smokey and people like that know. I'm still a budgeting sensitive. I'm going to call myself the reluctant sensitive. Getting back to Iceland, the Sabrina, who is on our team now, had encountered some spirits who were less than desirable. You know, this is an area that we call that's bordering on what we call the hood. So some of these spirits in there were less than desirable, but they did get the EVP on the website of a young woman who was crying, and we still don't know what the deal was with that. It's an interesting place to go. They say that one of the owners still haunts there. He got his arm cut off, and one of the machines in there, and then you can see him with one arm. And the funny story is I go back to do some extra filming, and this gentleman, it's a dark building, and we're in there alone, and all the machines are going off. And this man comes out from behind, dressed in overalls. He reminded me of the one-armed man because he was shadowed, so it kind of scared us. Like I said, you know, still that kind of a scary cat stage, you know, just like the investigation the other night. Like I said, we're going to be returning to Sacramento Theater Company. We would like to get in the underground of Sacramento. We're working on a deal with that. My time is not changing, so I'm watching my wristwatch. But it's interesting. It's an interesting thing to do, but it is also an expensive hobby. I got in rather cheaply. I bought, instead of buying a DVR, I turned around and bought a digital video CD recorder. So that's, or DVD recorder. So that's how we do ours. We just put them on the 2-hour DVDs and then change the DVDs out every 2 hours. You know? You know what? It is true. Some people come back and they don't realize they're dead. And sometimes it's up to the psychic and the paranormal investigators to point that out. You know, you can look at a person who dies suddenly or somebody that bleeds to death. That might be a case where they don't realize they're dead. That's why sometimes, and it's funny with ghosts, sometimes people will say that they see a ghost walking through a wall, and they're really not walking through a wall, especially if it's an old Victorian that's been renovated. You know, they still see things as they were. They don't see things as you see them, okay? Because they're still living in the past. They don't realize they're dead, and they're still seeing it the way they want to see it. So a lot of the time with that, if they do look like, appear that they're walking through a wall, they're actually walking through a doorway that was there at one time. And, you know, that's where you run into, are they actually acknowledging you, or are they what they call a repeating spirit, or a residual spirit that has been doing the same thing for years and years and years, even before they died and it's left an imprint. It's interesting to come in contact with those, as well as it's interesting to come in contact with the ones that do acknowledge your presence. Which is what can happen sometimes. And like I said, if you go to our MySpace site, you can see an example of one that's acknowledging our presence there. You know, a lot of the times too, like I see Sal lives in a hotel with 30 to 40 spirits that are here. You know, sometimes those spirits are nice spirits. So you really don't have to worry about what's going on. It's the ones that aren't nice spirits that can come through portals, you know. And that's the stuff you got to worry about, and that's why they call out people like me to come in and take a look and deal with that. We've got about 4 minutes remaining. I didn't want to bore you guys tonight. I kind of, 5 o'clock, Nancy let me know she couldn't make her show, so I went ahead and volunteered and did it, and I hope I shared some interesting stories with you guys and some ghost hunting adventures. I wish there was more time to go into more detail. Oh, sorry, Sal. Maybe when I do my show in a couple weeks. Because I'm not going to have a show this week. I've got some family stuff to tend to. But I will be on the week after. And I think we're going to be talking about the Marfa Lights on my show. So I think you guys might be interested in that. My name is Charlotte of California Haunts. Nancy Mass works with us. We're out of Sacramento, California. We do a ton of stuff up in Northern California, actually all over California. We have teams in Central California, Northern California, Nevada. We got teams in the Gold Country, in the Bay Area. So we're all over the place. And thank you, Kathy. I did my best tonight. Kind of winged it, but I'm very happy. Again, check out my website at www.californiahaunts.org. You can see some of the places we've been. We have some wonderful reports that we put together. The Murphy site is very interactive. You can share stories if you stayed at the Murphy Hotel. You could share some stories on there as well, because we do have a little blog spot for that. And the grumpy ones, yes. And so I'm glad to have got to talk to you guys. Nancy will be back next week to talk with you. And again, my site is www.californiahaunts.org. My MySpace site is myspace.com/CaliforniaHaunts. So give that a check out, and I do have a Blog Talk Radio show if you guys are interested in coming on that every Wednesday, but again, we're not going to be on this Wednesday. Thank you again. You were very attentive. Yeah, I keep doing myself. And happy hauntings, and if you do want to get into paranormal investigation, you know what all you got to do is ask. Ask the paranormal group how they do things if you want. If they have sensitives who were with them, ask them, and it's a fun ride and a fun thing to do. And again, thank you guys, and I appreciate it. And Nancy, we'll see you next week, and I'll see you the week after when we talk about the Marfa Lights. Catch you later.